Good morning to everybody this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I would like to thank you for joining us here this morning, and as I have come somewhat into the habit of reminding you that if you should miss one of the sermons in this series, that you can go to our website at hilltopbaptistnewport.com and download those. And I also want to remind each of you that we, at some point in time, we're going to be uploading HTML and PDF files to our church website that actually has the text of these sermons included within it. While I prepare pretty much all that I'm going to preach and put it on paper before me, many times I find myself taking other routes that the Lord leads me down, and I don't have a problem with that, but it's sometimes I have to remember that I'm kind of limited in time, and I want to thank God for this radio broadcast. I want to thank God for saving me. I thank Him for that gift of salvation. I thank Him for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank Him for the church that He's put me in. Hilltop Baptist Church is a tremendous church. The Spirit of God meets here with us, and if you do not have a Bible-believing church, I would encourage you to come to Hilltop Baptist Church. If you want to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, come to Hilltop Baptist Church. And by the way, let me remind you of this. If you will get into the Spirit, if you will live a holy life and be led of the Spirit of God is going to lead you to exalt and uplift that name that is above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for our great Savior and our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been so good to us. I look forward to spending an eternity with Him. Let me open us up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'll bless in the preaching and teaching today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless those that would hear out there this morning, Lord. I pray to you, Lord, for the salvation of anybody that might be listening that is lost, Lord. I pray, Lord, that all that is said here today will be to Your honor and Your glory. Help me, Lord, that I'd not say anything that would be wrong or that would dishonor You in any way. I just want to praise You and thank You, Lord, for all that You've done and all that You're going to do. I love You, Lord. And I appreciate you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back. I closed out in a big hurry last week in Daniel chapter 7. So I want to go back and pick up and start at the very outset of Daniel chapter 7 again. We've already established a pretty good background in the earlier sermons in this series. And I believe that this is probably the fourth series on the fourth sermon in the series on Gentile nations, where we're talking about how God is using the Gentile nations and what their role is in end times Bible prophecy. And the book of Daniel contains perhaps more detailed information on it, and it's 12 short chapters than what the rest of the Bible does. And I want to remind you too that the book of Daniel, and especially Daniel chapter 7 and 8, are inseparably linked to the book of Revelation. It's amazing the tie-ins that you establish there when you start studying in the book of Revelation. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. When he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Excuse me. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld two of the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages, should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and I asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. I want to reread that verse. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stamp the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possess the kingdom. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first three, from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. In other words, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, starting back in verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of matter, of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed to me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel was very troubled at what he had seen here. Now, Daniel chapter 7 amplifies upon the information given in chapter 2. And I said this last week, and I want to remind you of the use of that number 4 and how consistently it is in these two chapters. And I told you last week that what God is doing is he is adding more on top of what he revealed in Daniel chapter 2. And he's talking about the very same four kingdoms when he uses that number 4. Daniel chapter 7 is, once again, and I know I kind of ride this, is inseparably linked to the book of Revelation. You'll not understand the book of Revelation without understanding the book of Daniel. In fact, the chapter 7 of the book of Daniel has a whole lot to do with the book of Revelation. The preaching and teaching that follows will be somewhat difficult to follow and keep up with. And I know that because we're kind of limited here on time. I want to remind you that you can download these sermons from our church's website. And not only in audio format, but we're going to be formatting them so we can upload text files on them. Now, you will note from the verses that we just read out of Daniel chapter 7, verses 3 through 8, that there are four separate beasts that come up out of the sea, whereas in Revelation chapter 3, not 3, but Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to go there in just a moment. In Revelation chapter 13, the beast that comes up out of the sea is a single entity that incorporates all the features of the four separate beasts from Daniel chapter 7. What you see in the book of Daniel is they come up, one following the other, and it's obvious that they are separate kings and kingdoms that are being talked about. Now, they come up together in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And in that, we see that they are unified. They're unified in a purpose. They have been brought together for a purpose, and that purpose being the destruction of the nation of Israel by the Antichrist. That's what his whole objective is here. He seeks to devour the woman that brought forth the man-child, according to Revelation chapter 12. But Revelation 13 verses 1 and 2 have this to say. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a great beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We know that the dragon is the devil himself. It's Satan. Now, it is significant that Daniel 7 verse 17 states that the following for the beast that will be described, and it represents there are four kings that will come up out of the peoples of the earth. Daniel 7 verse 4 refers to a lion and an eagle. The lion that had eagle's wings represents the king of Babylon. Babylon today is represented by Iraq. Now, the fact that the lion and the eagle represent Babylon is clear from Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7, Jeremiah 4, verse 13, Jeremiah 25, verse 9, Ezekiel 17, verse 3, Ezekiel 17, verse 12, and so forth. That is a well-documented fact in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar is a theme that occurs quite frequently in the prophets. Now, the line of Medo-Persian kings is further commented on in Daniel chapter 11, verse 2. It is stated there that the four Medo-Persian kings are involved in the events that take place in Daniel chapter 11. And those kings would include Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes, Darius, and Xerxes. Daniel 7 verse 5 mentions a bear with three ribs in its mouth. The bear with three ribs in its mouth represents the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. That's modern day Iran today. The three ribs represent the destruction of the kingdoms of Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt. And they had an alliance against Medes and the Persians, but they were destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. And as I've already said, the Medes and Persians are represented today by Iran. And we'll get into further details on both the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks in Daniel chapter 8. The leopard that we see in Daniel chapter 7 represents the ancient kingdom of Greece. It is difficult to tie the leopard to a modern political power. It could well be that the leopard represents Eastern European nations. It is important to note the four wings and the four heads of Daniel chapter 7, verse 6. The four wings and the four heads tie this beast to Alexander the Great and his four generals who succeeded him as kings. And once again, we'll see more details of that in Daniel chapter 8 and also up in Daniel chapter 11, where it actually records the wars that those generals participated in. Now, the fourth beast within Daniel chapter 7, with the ten horns, that is stated to be dreadful and terrible, represents the ancient Roman Empire and the revived empire. Both are included within it. The Roman Empire is tied to the two legs of iron and the ten toes of iron and clay of the image that we have already studied in Daniel chapter 2. The revived Roman Empire is also tied to the beast that rises up out of the sea, as we see in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. I want you to note that it is a unified image that represents a Western alliance that is controlled by the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet make up an unholy trinity. Later on in this series, we're going to do a series on the unholy trinity to document their role in Bible prophecy a little more thoroughly. Now, the ten toes of Daniel chapter 2 and the ten horns in both Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13 represent ten political powers that shall rise at the time of the end. Remember, I've told you that many times in Bible prophecy, mountains represent kingdoms and horns represent the political leaders or kings of those particular nations. The ten political powers in Revelation chapter 13 are the revived Roman Empire. The time of the end is the Great Tribulation. Now the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7 are seen, if you take a look at them, they not only do they operate separately, but they come up in sequence with one another. And once again, the beast that is in Revelation chapter 13 is seen to rise up out of the sea and be in unity at the same time with the rest of those beasts. Now, according to Revelation 17, verse 15, the sea represents the nations and peoples of the earth. So these kings rise up out of those peoples. Another important difference between the beast of Daniel chapter 7 and the beast of Daniel chapter 13 verse 1 is that the horns of Daniel chapter 7 have no crowns upon them. In other words, the ten horns are seen as having not yet come to power. In Revelation chapters 13 and 17, the ten horns will come to power and will be used by the satanic trinity to bring about the desire of Satan to appear in the temple and to be worshipped as God. That has always been the intent of Satan, was to be worshipped as God. He, even in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14, where the five I wills occurs there, it was Satan's objective to be worshipped as God. And when we use the term Antichrist, that term has we can apply it in two different ways. He is anti in the sense that he is opposed to all that Christ does, the Lord Jesus Christ does, and he works to hinder whatever he can in that area. But he's also anti in the sense that he wants to appear instead of the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple to be worshipped as God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, when he appears in the temple, he's manipulating false religion. What he's doing is he's manipulating the mother of harlots church that's talked about in Revelation chapter 17. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation 17, and we'll read verses 12 through 16 there. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Now, a lot of people are reluctant to use the word whore or whoredom from the pulpit, but it is a Bible word. The Bible uses that term whoredom and a whore and a harlot to refer to false religious systems, of which the harlot of the book of Revelation is. And by the way, she's referred to as the mother of harlots, plural, which means that she has several different religions, if you will, that will come under her authority in that one world church, by the way. Now, we've talked a lot about 10 kingdoms and 10 horns here. And there has been and there continues to be much speculation as to who those 10 political powers are. Many have stated that they believe that it represents the nations of the European Union. But I would remind you that there are more than 10 nations represented in the European Union. Right now, the truth of the matter is that we really don't know who is represented there. I've been asked many times what the role of the United States of America will play in the end times Bible prophecy. The truth of the matter is that we can get no definitive answer from the scriptures. We can only speculate that the United States is tied in with the Western powers that are represented by the Western European nations, who were all a part of that ancient Roman Empire that we've talked a lot about so far. We would hope, once again, and this is one of my overriding themes, I love my country, I love the United States of America, but we are wicked beyond belief now, and we're going to pay a penalty for it. Not only does our wickedness go to a lifestyle that is ungodly, filthy, and so forth, but we have incorporated into that now a hatred for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And anti-Semitism is on the rise on campuses of colleges here in the United States. And it's raised its head again in the nomination of the latest Secretary of Defense, who is Chuck Hagel out of Nebraska. He has made several anti-Semitic comments, and he's also received some financial support from a Hamas terrorist organization, too. Once again, I just want to say this. We would hope that the United States of America would come down on the right side of the conflict as it relates to Israel, but that does not appear to be the case. The United States State Department has always been anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. The current Obama administration is the most anti-Israel American administration ever. Obama cannot be trusted to do that which is right in relation to the nation of Israel. He's trouble, that's what he is. He's a lot of trouble for America. He's going to bring more judgment upon America. Now, the little horn appears in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. The little horn represents the Antichrist. Remember that the Antichrist is going to he's moving the world toward that one world government, and that one world church. And his objective is to be worshiped. And Satan's objective is also to be worshiped. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 20, this little horn that we call the Antichrist is described as having destroyed three kings before himself. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 20 and 21, this little horn is described as speaking very great things against the Most High and making war with the saints. It is also said of him that he will wear out the saints of the Most High. This speaks to the persecution and warfare that the Antichrist will wage against God's people. This little horn, or the Antichrist, is also described in Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. Now, that this little horn has a double reference to both the Antichrist and Antiochus Epiphanes is obvious from the context and also from the events in secular world history. This little horn is ultimately fulfilled in the Antichrist. This little horn is the prince that shall come from Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. He is the king of fierce countenance from Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. He is the willful king from Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45. He is the abomination of desolation in Daniel 12, verse 11, and in Matthew 24, 15. He is the man of sin and the son of perdition from 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 4 through 8. And he's also the beast of Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 through 10. In Revelation 13, 6, the Antichrist is described as blaspheming the name of God. In other words, he's speaking great things against God. Let's go and look at Revelation 13, 1, 8, and that's where we'll probably have to close out here today. Starting in verse 1 of Revelation 13, "And I stood before the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years, folks. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So we see the destruction in Daniel chapter 11 and also in this book of Revelation of the Antichrist. And we'll get into more of that next week. And I want to thank you for joining us here today. It has been a blessing to be able to bring this series on Bible prophecy, and we will continue in it. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.